Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. Some of us in Nashville, Tennessee. Some of us in New York. We've got a lot to get to today here on the program. Obviously, we're going to spend a lot of time on the Titans and that disaster yesterday against the Jets, a gigantic win for the Tennessee Vols. Vanderbilt, a last-second win as well, and a little Brady versus Belichick action last night. I'm trying purposely to avoid talking about the University of Kentucky because Michelle's shirt is very loud and proud Kentucky today, but busy weekend in the world of sports. Joe Rexroad, how are we doing live from New York City?
Go Cats!
That's right.
Doing okay, and I'm going to be loud. Now, there's a big difference between starting a show at 7 a.m. local and 4 a.m. local.
That's right.
So today I'm not going to be talking on the seventh green as we approach. And that's a slightly in the rough. No more of that. And it's a good day to probably be loud because, yeah. Boy, that was bad. That was bad yesterday by the Titans.
That was really, really bad. We'll get to a little bit more of that coming up in a second. Although I do have a question to start you off with here, Joe Rexroad. Better weekend, Tom Brady going back to New England and getting a win, or Urban Meyer partying it up out there with the videos coming out? Who had the better weekend?
First of all, those Urban Meyer videos are from years ago.
That's total
bunk.
That really ruins my...
He had like his Ohio State stuff on, and there's those have been debunked. Unfortunately,
it would be great to think.
But Brady had good night for Brady. You know, the thing is, I mean, I'm sure Brady wanted to go in there and just just unload on them, and really didn't. And actually, like his replacement, like it was a great night for like Pats fans to be like, you know what, Tom, we're good, we're gonna be okay. Also, incredible that Bill Bell in this matchup, it ends on a stupid coaching decision. Like, what are you doing?
56-yard field goal in the driving rain to try to get a win when it's 4th and 3.
I mean, on 3rd and 3, Mac Jones made the exact correct read, had the ball going to the right place, and it would have put them in a great spot. And a great play. I don't even know who did it. Who did it for the Bucs. Tipped it at the line. Okay, fine. So you got 4th and 3. Your rookie quarterback has barely thrown an incompletion all night. He has been on time with the ball. He has handled everything the Bucs have thrown at him. I was blown away by Mac Jones last night. And you kick a 56-yarder? And by the way, even if you make it, Tom Brady gets like 50 seconds. So you're toast anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, just ridiculous. Like all this build up, and then let's end on Belichick just completely just soiling his diaper. It's just ridiculous.
It was really bad. I will say it was a pretty good kick given the circumstances.
Yeah, no, it was.
And it goes right off the uprights. And as Brady said after the game, sometimes it goes off the uprights and in, and sometimes you're a little bit wide. But all in all, I thought the game itself was better than I thought from a competitive standpoint. Not much offensive football to really go around last night between the Bucs and the Patriots. But Tom Brady goes back to New England. They get it done, and Tampa Bay improves to 3-1. So speaking of teams that did not get it done yesterday, the Titans, and we've got a lot to get to on that front today. A 27-24 loss in overtime to the hapless New York Jets. Joe, again, we've got a lot to get to with this game, and we'll take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, all show long. I guess my first question is, watching that in person, your initial reaction to what we saw from the Titans yesterday, how in the world did they let this happen against that football team in the New York Jets?
Yeah, well, I mean, to me, it's two things that really failed and are really disappointing. One is certainly the offensive line. I mean, let's face it. It almost felt like in parts of that game, like seriously, like a higher level college team trying to, or a lower level college team trying to block a higher level college team. You know what I mean? Like it was not, I mean, they were getting, and yes, certainly Robert Saleh loves to blitz and they sent people and they had some really good effective pressures, but there were also a lot of times where it was simple. Like, especially I think both tackles just really losing quickly on the outside. So that was a big disappointment. And then the defense, I mean, ultimately, like, you can't let them off the hook like that. You can't give up big plays like that. It's just, it was very disappointing from that perspective. If you are going to succumb to that team, to that offensive line, to that collection of skill, rookie quarterback, boy, it doesn't bode well. You know, it just, I thought the defense has really demonstrated some good things, but hugely disappointing, you know, to come out, let them have that tying drive, you know, obviously the big play to Davis. And then in overtime, I mean, hey, I give Danico Autry credit. I mean, a lot of guys stepped up and made plays too, but bad performance. And then as far as the game situation, I mean, you go back to the beginning. The Jets were a team that came out absolutely intending to be dominated. You know, like they didn't have energy. They didn't have confidence. They were exactly what you thought they were. They were getting booed by the fans. They stunk on offense. It was total. So it was 105-15 in total yards. Like the first three possessions for each team. And if the Titans just do what they're used to doing, which is executing the red zone, at least the last 2 years, then I don't think it gets interesting. But they screwed it up, and they had three field goals, and then eventually that team got life.
Yeah, I mean, look, that was, you know, the game stretches out into overtime, so you're talking 3:30, 3:45 before that one gets done, Central Time yesterday. That was a four-hour period that we'll never get back. Like, that was one of the worst professional football games I've ever watched in my entire life. It was brutal to watch yesterday. Not just from, you know, the way the Titans kind of fell apart at the end. It was just really horrendous football for a lot of the time yesterday, and that's got to be one where, you know, as that game continues to go on, and we saw it on social media, Titans fans are like, here we go again. Like, how do you keep finding yourself in this situation? And look, Joe, I didn't expect the offense to go in there yesterday and just totally light it up. We talked about it last week. The Jets have a good defensive front. We knew what the Titans were getting into with that defensive front. And when you don't have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, I said this yesterday on Twitter, like, I think anybody who thought the Titans' offense was just going to go in there and light it up yesterday without A.J. Brown and Julio Jones probably wasn't living in reality. But to your point, I mean, there were just so many simple mistakes that they made yesterday on both sides of the ball. And one of those ones, I mean, it's overtime. It's 3rd and 5, and you get a delay of game penalty. Like, how does that happen in overtime? It's just simple things like that that just leave you scratching your head yesterday. And, you know, I didn't think at first it was really going to matter in the first half because, like you said, the Jets just looked so hapless coming out. I mean, they weren't getting anything done offensively. The Titans' defense was playing really well. They were forcing stops quickly, and the Titans were moving the ball on the offensive side. But you get down to the red zone, you're not able to finish on some of these drives, and you end up with only 9 points, 3 field goals made in the first half. Anytime you let a team like that hang around, you're playing with fire. And we saw Zach Wilson's arm be able to extend some plays yesterday and make some big throws down the field. And it's just, it's a horrendous loss for this Titans team. I mean, I don't really know how to overstate how bad of a loss this is for the Titans.
Yeah, it is. And you got to separate the two things. The injuries, absolutely, of course, are a factor, right? I mean, they're bad. It's amazing, the injury situation for this team to be a month into the season and be this banged up is pretty remarkable. And obviously that's going to have an effect, but like there's no excuse to lose this game, even with that. Yes, of course. I mean, they're not the same without those two receivers. Of course not. But, you know, that's the thing. Again, I thought that they had a nice mix early offensively. They moved the ball with ease. You know, they had a good plan and they were, you know, doing what they intended to do, just not finishing the red zone. And then I would say that I would agree, like by the third quarter of that game, I was like, this is just an all-time, just awful game. Just an all-time awful game. And at least it got, you know, it got interesting late, I guess. Like both teams made some plays, but it was bad. The injuries, the problem with the injuries, of course, is what it means for the future, what it means spinning forward. I mean, you have to overcome them, win this game, because you know what's coming. And now you go to Jacksonville, and who the heck knows what's going to happen in Jacksonville. But even to just be 3-2 entering that quartet of games, which again, for people who don't know, Bills, Chiefs, Colts, Rams in order, two at home, two on the road. I mean, if you're even just 3-2 entering that is rough, and hey, 2-3 is on the table.
Go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Kelton texting in, would you guys rather have had the tie or straight-up loss? I know that we all hate ties, and I was actually thinking about that yesterday, Joe, like how much I despise ties in the NFL, but when it got down to the end of it yesterday, I was thinking if you're the Titans, you're going to thank your lucky stars and take a tie and get out of here, and they just weren't able to get it done.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? It could be a tiebreaker in your favor. So, but yes, it would have been actually very fitting for that game to end in a tie.
It would have.
Although it was very fitting for a Titans kicker to badly hook and miss a huge field goal, and to remind us again of the kicker carousel that this team's been on, along with so many other themes that were kind of running around there yesterday at the GM and coach level.
A lot of themes yesterday for sure, and Joe, I said it on Friday, that my favorite uniform combo for the Titans is that navy blue top and the white pants. And they might have to launch that combo into the sun, man. I mean, the last two times that they've worn those were yesterday and the Cincinnati game a year ago. Maybe time to hang those up. As much as I like how it looks, if you're going to play like that in that combo, and I'm, you know, kind of half joking here, but not good stuff the last couple of times they've worn that combo.
Yeah, that's not those are not the britches. Those are not the britches. I don't like those uniforms anyway, so I think they should ditch them. So,
well, I don't think you're going to have a hard time convincing anyone after the way they played the last two times in those. We're off and running today here on the Titans and the Jets. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, how did Mike Vrabel and this coaching staff allow this to go down yesterday? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday after a 27-24 overtime loss for the Titans against the Jets. That one hurts yesterday if you're a Titans fan. We're taking your thoughts on our text line and our phone line all show long. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Speaking of, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in our good friend Kenston from Memphis. Kenston, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Man, I'm not doing good, man. You know, one of my parlays went bad because of this game. But I finally understand why we don't get any national hype. Joe, you were talking about how your friends at the Athletic don't respect the Titans, and it's like every year we have one of these games. And, you know, I'm kind of over it, but then I look at it. I told y'all I was going to call in and talk about Jeffrey Simmons, and so many fans love him and fall in love with the hype of what he could be, but I'm watching that game, and I'm waiting on him to make a play. You know, I've been a fan of this team for over 20 years when Haynesworth was here, when Jarrell Casey was in his prime, dominant defensive tackles. And I'm like, where is this Pro Bowl defensive tackle game changer that could help us make a difference? Where is he at? And I know he had four tackles, but they didn't call his game name at all last game. They didn't hardly call his name against the Colts. He's a great run defender, but he hasn't played up to his potential. So I'm really frustrated with him. That defense had no business giving up 27 points. They shouldn't have scored more than 17 against us. But, you know, it's a bit of the same. You know, I don't want to hear any more about any training camp battles with wide receivers because those guys sucked. The O-line sucked. I don't know what the prospects of this team's going to be going forward. So, I mean, I'm not trying to overreact. I think we're going to be a playoff team and win the division, but, you know, I don't know if we're going to be a Super Bowl contender because we can't even beat the freaking Jets. So, thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks for the call, Kinston. We appreciate it. And, you know, Kinston, obviously a very passionate Titans fan and interacts with us a lot on social media, and he's been beating this drum for a couple of weeks about Jeffrey Simmons. And, look, there were a lot of problems yesterday, and Jeffrey Simmons is down the list in terms of the problems for the Titans yesterday. But to Kinston's point, and we've talked about this several times, Joe, I think everybody recognizes that Jeffrey Simmons is a good player. We're waiting on Jeffrey Simmons to take the next step and become a great player, and I've not seen that so far this year.
Yeah, look, the fact that he's doubled constantly has to be mentioned because sure. He is. Now, there are people in the league who are doubled a lot, you know, and some make more plays than him. So I would agree. I mean, look, I guess I look at that game and I'm like, I would not even think to go to Jeffrey Simmons, you know, personally. Like, I still think he was a presence and a factor. Agree that, you know, as a pass rusher, you want to see more. You want to see some of, you know, what Casey gave you for a lot of years.
Sure.
You know, from the interior. So I don't disagree. I guess I just wouldn't. I wouldn't even have thought to go to Jeffrey Simmons today, you know, if Kinston didn't take it there. You can look at it, though, and say, well, someone on this defense has to compensate for some of the shortcomings. Like, Harold Landry, again, continues to me to be really good this year. Danico Autry, that play in overtime, but at other times, I mean, I think he's been a nice pickup. He's been a factor. I still think Simmons has been a plus player. I guess not enough of one. You need more from him. You know, and even yesterday, I mean, Christian Fulton with the pick early, but then, you know, got beat in a couple of key moments, you know, late by Crowder too. So just overall, very disappointing for that defense to have some of the issues it had, you know, like late. So it was overtime. Overtime, it looked like they didn't get a call in, or Jenkins didn't get the call. He was kind of signaling before a snap. I think it was third and two. Something like it looked like he was like, you know, what's the call? And it ends up, of course, that he was supposed to be covering Cole, and it's a 29-yard, you know, deep sideline pass from Zach Wilson to Cole. That's a huge play. You know, where the Titans could have forced a punt in overtime and didn't. So, like, just a bunch of stuff like that. The delay, like you said, and the delay of game, and, you know, the snap over the head of, you know, when you have Brewer in the game, you have third and one, it's a shotgun snap. I actually asked Vrabel about that yesterday, and Vrabel said that they thought they had a first down based on the spot. So Henry had actually tapped out. So that is not on the coaches. With Henry not being there, but you do. You have a third and one. You have no Derrick Henry. And you have a new center who is shotgun snapping. And, of course, we saw what happened over his head. That they have to settle for a field goal. That drive was destined to be a touchdown. So there's just a lot of stuff going on there. Like, you thought it was a first down. So I guess, I don't know, why not pop a timeout? You know, get Derrick Henry back on the field, line up under center, get the first down once you realize it's third and one. I mean, there's just a lot of stuff yesterday that got screwed up.
Yep, and to that point, when you start talking about as many things that got screwed up as they did yesterday for the Titans, you naturally go back to coaching. And, you know, our buddy Ben Arthur from the Tennessean came out with his grades yesterday from the game. He gave the coaching an F. And, you know, obviously factoring in Bowen and Mike Vrabel and Todd Downing. And, look, you know, I know the two games the Titans have lost this year have been just brutal performances by the offensive line. So there's that factors into it. But Todd Downing, I mean, he's got to have something to do with that. Like, when you realize that your offensive line is just getting blown up the way that it was, you've got to figure out how to compensate for that if you're an offensive coordinator. And I just, yet again yesterday, I looked at some of those play calls, particularly on first down, and I was just like, what are they doing out there, man? It was, I thought, a really poorly coached game yesterday. I know it's easy to go there when you lose a game like that to the Jets. But to your point, just so many simple things that were either messed up yesterday or looked discombobulated. The Titans just looked all out of sorts yesterday. And sometimes that happens in the NFL. We get that. And You talked about that Friday. I mean, there's going to be some weeks where the Titans look bad as they move forward here. You got to find a way to overcome that, but not a very well coached game yesterday for the Titans.
Well, and to of course not. Of course not. First of all, absolutely not. It's funny because if we were ranking Vrabel, Downing, and Bowen, I might still say Downing had the best day of the three. Obviously, you know, you're the head coach; it's on you. You lose a game like this, so sure. You know, Vrabel is a different category, I guess. But I just I thought they did have some things that worked well. They had this little throwback screen to McNichols with Ben Jones kicking out that they went to. Well, they ended up going to it one too many times is what happened, because the Jets finally recognized it and just blew it up in overtime, to put them behind the sticks. But it had worked a lot. I mean, there was a lot of little stuff to McNichols that was working. And I thought, sometimes it's like, look, it's third and you're getting third and long, and what are you going to do? I mean, you have to drop back and pass. I agree, though, in general, like maybe move the pocket, do something different at some point once they're pushing toward double digits and sacks. On the text line, let's see if I can find this. I'm not always great at this. But on the text line, someone was asking about Downing and the usage of Derrick Henry. And that's another funny thing, It's like Derrick Henry – I'm not in favor of him being off the field on any play.
Right.
But he did have 33 carries. He had 33 carries for 157 yards. He also did, what did he do in a receiving game? He had a couple catches for 20 yards. I mean, they used him, I agree, have him on the field all the time, but sometimes we talk about workload. And then it's like, well, how the heck did he only get the ball 33 times, The bottom line is it's just in a day like that, you got to lean on your best player. But, man, it's like where are things going if they can't protect a quarterback?
Yeah, it's a rough situation. And yet again, a couple of those hits that Ryan Tannehill took yesterday leave you holding your breath if you're a Titans fan. I mean, a couple of unblocked guys coming in and just absolutely unloading on your quarterback. We'll get a little bit more to the offensive line coming up here in just a second. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, do we have a Jonathan Joseph situation going on with Janoris Jenkins? That man can't cover a bed. That's on the text line. Not a great day for Jenkins yesterday.
No, but I don't.
It's not
think
Jonathan
so.
Joseph.
Yeah, it's not that. But again, like that play, the play I'm talking about with Cole on the sideline, he was late to figure out what he was supposed to do. So that's on them as a collective. But what's really interesting to me with the corners is, so yesterday Christian Fulton is the slot corner.
Yeah.
And Breon Borders is the other outside corner. Now, obviously we know, maybe that wouldn't be the case. Maybe it still would. But if Caleb Farley were available, he's one of 87 guys who are injured right now. But like Elijah Molden, now I understand he had a couple real bad moments in that Seattle game. But all of a sudden, he's just a total non-factor.
He just can't get on the field anymore.
Him.
Yeah,
right. You don't even consider him. And so it's Borders on the outside. And then of course the Jets took advantage of that with the Corey Davis touchdown, just beat Borders. Corey Davis looked pretty good, by the way, yesterday. He looked like a pretty good football player.
He did. Blocked well, ran routes well. Good stuff from Corey Davis.
I mean, 111 yards receiving, plus you tack on that, 43-yard huge penalty, which, again, was another – it's one of those things, it's a bad mistake because you had a chance to play the ball and Crookshank just hit him early. A little bit panicky, but it's also, it's a guy I didn't think was going to make the team who's starting at safety, and that's where they are too. Not an excuse, but there are some incredible situations for this team. And yesterday, of course, punter also.
Yeah.
Number three outside linebacker, Sharif Finch. You got new guys, the D-line, and it's really amazing. I can't recall a team in the first couple days of October being this ravaged by injuries.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans when we come back on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, hang with us on the phone line. We'll get to you on the other side. The final game of NFL Week 4 is tonight, and FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every play. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every single week, and all you got to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. The Chargers and the Raiders tonight. Raiders still undefeated. I like the Chargers in this game, though. I like the way Justin Herbert and company have been preparing. Give me the over on Herbert's passing yards, but you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are one of the many reasons I love betting with FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's safe and secure, easy to use, and you get your money quickly in as little as 24 hours. So if you're new to FanDuel Sportsbook, sign up today with promo code ROB to also receive a risk-free bet up to $1,000. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. A max refund of $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel after the game yesterday addressing the health of the team. As Joe Rexrode mentioned, pretty concerning moving forward where this Titans team is from an injury standpoint. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrode here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line and welcome in Joe from Nashville who wants to weigh in. Joe, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rexrode.
Good morning, gentlemen. Big Titans fan, bad day yesterday. I just want to come back on some of the comments that Joe made there a few minutes ago about Derrick Henry and, you know, some of the questionable things about taking him out sometimes.
Okay.
If you go back to the first three drives where they ended up in field goals, the first one, the one I had a real problem with, we're on the 11-yard line, it's third and one, you take Henry out. You know, McNichols, by the way, McNichols had his best game, I think, yesterday as the Titans, you know, for full disclosure. Now, the second time, you know, we're third and six. I can see that. I didn't have as much issue with taking Derrick Henry out at that time, even though we're still in the red zone. And I would think that the Jets would much more have to deal with Jeremy McNichols on third and six than they would have had to deal with Derrick Henry. But now, the third time, after we failed twice and we've been in the red zone, and it's third and two, and you take this guy out again, and at this time he hadn't had those 30-plus touches that Joe was talking about earlier, you know, I don't understand the meaning behind it. I mean, you've got some great players on this team, but arguably you've got one guy right now that is, you know, one of the best in the league. I mean, you don't see these other teams taking out their best players, their best chance to win when you're in a scoring position, and Tennessee Titans have consistently done this in the last 2 to 3 years, Derek. And, you know, the guy goes out, he's the leading receiver of the team at the time. I know he's not going to burn up, you know, the scoreboard, make the most time catch a pass. But, you know, just having him on the field and having to deal with him, just to defend with him, I think would have been much more better served for the Titans and gave them a much better opportunity to score. Somebody needs to talk to this OC or in Brable and say, hey, man, you know, the guy's catching everything, you know, that you're pretty much throwing at him. You know, and even if he doesn't, even if you're not going to go to him, if you're going to go a different direction, having him on the field is a much more matchup, you know, nightmare for, say, some of the guys for the Jets than it would have been for Jeremy McNichols. I'll hang up and I'll listen to your thoughts.
Hey, thanks for the call, Joe. We appreciate it. And yeah, look, I get it. It's, you want Derrick Henry on the field as much as possible. And, Joe, there was a lot of that, of what Joe just threw out there on social media yesterday. Now, I will say, if you watch the game and you go back and look at it, there was at least a couple of times where they caught it on the broadcast where you can see Derrick Henry tapping the top of his head and taking himself out. So, some of these situations, do the Titans take him out? Yes. Now, I think a couple of times yesterday what happened was Henry was gassed and he took himself out.
That is definitely the case. Well, I believe on the third one, remember, So I'm trying to go through all the So if you go the second possession, you got Henry with 16 yards. Henry gets a yard. Then you get a little swing pass to Henry for 16 more yards. Henry gets seven. Henry gets two. Taps out. So you know he'd done a lot of work. So again, that's a tap out when the Titans think that they have a first down. They didn't. So it was third and one. I guess like right at that moment, like okay, so wait. It's third and one. Okay, Derek has tapped out here. Brewer's out there. It's going to be a shot. I mean, like it's one of those, you know, it's easy to go back, easy to second guess. But like, man, pop a timeout right there. Get what you want. Get the first down. That was obviously a disastrous loss of a great chance at a touchdown to lose 17 yards. You know, and then Joe is talking about the fourth possession, actually, I believe is what he's referring to, which was Henry gets three, Henry gets five. Third and two, I agree. Third and two, Henry should be on the field. Now, the bigger picture of what Joe is talking about there, it's a tough one. I mean, Arthur Smith did the same thing.
Yeah.
So let's not just put on Todd Downing. You know, the actual role of someone else who is a third down back who's a little bit quicker, a little bit better with some of the choice routes and stuff. And look, McNichols was really good yesterday. I mean, McNichols has been very effective. You know, I mean, a lot of these teams are dropping their coverages and there's room for him to run. He's making plays. I do tend to agree, though, that there's certain times, and I mean, I think every game there's some times in the press box. I'm like, see, right now I'd want 22 out there so they know he's out there. Whatever you're going to do. And then, of course, we always talk about his workload. So, I mean, there's a lot of things kind of, you know, kind of pushing against each other here. But in general, I would agree. Like third and two, Derrick Henry should never not be on the field. Third and one, obviously. Okay, that third and one was jacked up, which is still on the Titans, but it was jacked up. It was not an intentional, third and one, let's put him at McNichols. But even third and two, like third and three or less, I think you got to have Derrick Henry on the field. I understand third and medium. I think, look, I mean, I'm not against Derrick Henry on the field at all times, always having the ball, throwing it, catching it, punting it. You know, the third and two that they botched, by the way, was an offensive pass interference by Firkser, and he definitely did not execute the rub very well. It was basically just a block in the open field. And then new punter Johnny Townsend gets a 12-yard punt off.
Just right smoked after that.
Yeah. So that right around there, you know, it's 9-7 because, of course, the Jets had come down to score. Corey Davis beat Christian Fulton for a big play. He beat Jenkins on third and 10. You know, so the Jets had momentum, and then you respond with that, taking Henry out on third down, OPI, a nice 12-yard punt.
Let's go back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Matt from Memphis, who wants to weigh in.
Good morning,
Matt, thanks
guys.
For calling in Robbie and Rex Road.
Morning, how y'all doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good.
I got to share a couple thoughts with you guys real quick. I want to start off by saying it's very easy for all of us fans to comment on Todd Downing and stuff from our homes or wherever we're at, but I do have to say he is an idiot. I mean, on third and two, Henry should be in there, and why is he asking to get out of the game? Because you're running him every freaking two plays, every rush, every first and second down. Henry's running the ball, and then he passed him, and he tried to get out of it. They've got to switch it up. I mean, this is a team that can go deep into the playoffs. I don't know about a Super Bowl team now, but it can make a run to the AFC Championship. But when you're doing run, run, pass, it's pretty easy. And Derrick Henry's on pace to run for 590 attempts. I mean, it's ridiculous how much you're using him. I get it. He's a workhorse, and he can handle it. But he's tired. We need to win these games. That was an easy game. Our schedule is only going to get harder from here.
Hey, thanks for the call, Matt. We appreciate it. I mean, look, to Matt's point, it is going back to the play calling on first down. There's a whole lot of turning it around and handing it off to Derrick Henry on first down, and there is. And look, I get it to some degree, and especially as that game goes on yesterday. Like, I guess you're wondering if you're Todd Downing, like if I'm – dropping Ryan Tannehill back on a 7-step drop on first down, is he going to get killed because of the way that offensive line was blocking yesterday? But yeah, I mean, the usage level of Derrick Henry, look, I'm not surprised Derrick Henry got 33 carries yesterday. I mean, when you don't have A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, We knew this was going to happen heading into this game. Derrick Henry was going to get used a lot. It would be nice to have him in on those third down situations where not only can he be a weapon in a running game and a threat that defense has to be prepared for, but we've seen it. He can be a threat in the passing game this year too. So it's going to be interesting to see how they adjust to that moving forward, because you need to have Derrick Henry on the field.
Yeah, and in general, I agree on the first downs, but actually, I mean, I thought yesterday early that it really wasn't that way. Their first down was not a run to Henry. Their second first down was a play-action pass. Tannehill was sacked. Questenberry got beat, and he got sacked. Then their next third down, they had a fade to Josh Reynolds. He could have possibly caught it for a touchdown, didn't catch it. Then they go Wildcat, Derrick Henry for two. Then you get third and eight. Then you get a free blitzer and a sack. I mean, some of the answer here, well, I know we're going to talk about this. Probably the obvious one thing that will help you is, of course, getting your receivers back. It's much different when you have guys who don't scare a secondary, who don't win easily against corners, and who don't give you these quick options as a quarterback. Let's be honest. I mean, I asked Vrabel yesterday, were there times when Tannehill, held the ball too long? Because I thought certainly looked that way to me. I think there were a few times he has to just get rid of it and not take the sack. But Vrabel's like, well, I have to look at the film, see if anybody was open, which was kind of, a little bit of an answer yeah, it's a little different out there at receiver without 11 and 2. But then the other answer is just the offensive linemen who have been good at blocking, finding a way to be good at blocking again, because right now they're not.
They're not, and it was brutal in the pass blocking game yesterday once again for the Titans. And that leaves me asking this question. Is this going to be what this offensive line is in pass protection all year long? And if so, is there any way the Titans can overcome that? We'll get to more of that coming up next. Got some tickets to give away coming up next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Maybe the Titans need to call Sandra Bullock, get in there to the offensive line to make a speech, protect the blind side of Ryan Tannehill.
Or Michael Orr.
Maybe call Michael Orr as well. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Now with two locations in Murfreesboro, visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We've got some tickets to give away to see the Nashville Predators take on the Carolina Hurricanes at Bridgestone Arena coming up this Saturday, October the 9th. Be caller number 5, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a 4-pack of tickets to see the Predators take on the Hurricanes coming up on Saturday at Bridgestone Arena. Joe Rexroad, it was a disaster in the passing game as far as protection is concerned yesterday for the Titans. Ryan Tannehill sacked 7 times yesterday by the Jets, and that kind of had flashbacks to the Chandler Jones game in Week 1. A couple of weeks this year where it has been brutal to watch from a pass protection standpoint, and really in every game so far, there have been some shots that Ryan Tannehill has taken in the pocket. I guess my question now, Joe Rexroad, is how concerned are we is that this is just what this Titans offensive line is at this point in pass protection, and this is what Ryan Tannehill is going to have to find a way to deal with throughout the season? Have we reached that point yet with this line, given how bad it's been in a couple of these games through 4 games? Or do you still have hope that this could be an offensive line that at some point could figure out how to protect this quarterback?
Well, if it's not going to change and get better, they're not going to go to the playoffs.
No.
They're not going to win the division. I mean, seriously, if they don't get better and get close to what they used to be. Let's remember. Okay, so they've given up 17 sacks this year. They gave up 25 last year in 16 games. And that was last year, largely without Taylor Lewan. When they had Taylor Lewan, I would argue that the second half of 19, the playoff run of 19, and the first part of last year when they had Lewan, there's no way they were more than 2-3 offensive lines better than them in the league. Okay. Now, yes, Jack Conklin was part of that early. Dennis Kelly was part of that last year. But there's still a lot of guys who are on that line right now who were part of that, of course. And I think some of it is injury. Some people don't want to hear that. But Roger Saffold has been – I mean, he has four or five plays a game where he is not sure he wants to get up again because of the shoulder.
Yep.
He's been missing practice. Ben Jones has a knee. Ben Jones has been – I mean, Ben Jones is banged up. And this is where you look at these guys and say, okay, you also need to, like, think of the future. Like, at some point, you just get old and too beat up, and then you can't be effective. If that's what they are, they're going to have a real problem this year. They are so dependent on those guys. Nate Davis, I thought, had some real rough moments yesterday, too. He hasn't been as good as they need Nate Davis to be this year. Do I think that he's doomed to continue that? No, I can't imagine. I got to think that he's going to figure everything out, get in, you know, whatever he needs to do, and everyone's dealing with something, but, like, he can be better than that. Questenberry, we've talked about it. I thought he was good, really good at times in the first three games. Yesterday, he got beat a lot, just flat out. Now,
he's bad.
They also blitz to his side sometimes when, you know, he's got two guys to worry about, and he's trying to pick up the, you know, the corner of the linebacker blitz on the outside, and then, you know, the guy he was going to block comes on the inside. I mean, there were times when he was overwhelmed, and they didn't handle the pressures well as an entire offense, but there are also times we just got beat. And then Lawan was bad yesterday.
Yep.
And that's, like, I mean, it comes down, a lot of it comes down to Lawan. What is Lawan now as a player? What is he going to be as a player? How far is he from rediscovering his game? Will he? How much is the injury affecting him? Of course, yesterday on the same leg as the ACL, he was down. And at first I thought it was the knee again, but it was, I guess, the ankle. So he's got that foot wrapped. He comes back in the game. You know, Ben Jones is down early in the game for a while. Like, I was like, is this a neck thing? Turns out it's a shoulder thing. So add that to his list of problems along with the knee. So will they get healthy? If that's not the case, they're not going to get better. Will they get better even if they do get healthy? I don't know. But if not, I mean, the Titans are in serious trouble, man. Like this is supposed to be one of the best parts of the team. And right now, I think you could absolutely say it's the worst part of the team.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're at some point, if this continues, Ryan Tannehill is not going to be the starting quarterback. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, Ryan Tannehill is just getting absolutely destroyed out there at times. And look, Tannehill's a tough guy. He's a big guy. We know he can take hits, and we know that he's not afraid. But at some point, if you're under the amount of pressure that he's been under so far this year, that's going to affect you. Hopefully not physically, but it's certainly going to affect you mentally as well. And, you know, Tannehill largely has had a good pocket to throw from since he's been here as a quarterback with the Titans, and that's been a large degree of why he's been as successful as he has been. If this is going to be what the line is, I don't know how you overcome that if you're this offense. I mean, there's a lot of fancy things we talk about and these different play calls you can have. And, you know, A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, certainly you missed those two yesterday. But a lot of this game still is, can you block and can you tackle? And that's what a lot of this game boils down to. And right now, from a pass blocking standpoint, it's not going well. Now, the interesting thing is, Joe, and we saw this a couple of times as the game went on yesterday, run blocking wise, they still at times have their moments where they're dominant on the offensive line. I mean,
oh yeah,
there was a drive at the end of the third quarter heading into the fourth yesterday where Derrick Henry was gashing the Jets, and, you know, some of the holes that the line was creating out there, you're like, man, you can drive a truck through that hole. So it's not like every part of their game has just been awful, but pass blocking wise, it's been a pretty rough go of it so far, and it was pretty brutal to watch at times yesterday. Now, your point that you made earlier in the show, I also did think there were a few plays and a few sacks where Tannehill was holding on to the ball a long time, and I wonder how much of that is Tannehill looking for the perfect play and how much of that is nobody's wide open going down the field without A.J. Brown and Julio Jones.
Yeah, there's just some times, and there's some times where, I mean, he always wants to make a play, but there's some times where it's like, yeah, just go ahead and it's not there instantly. you got that clock's got to speed up in your head a little bit, just get rid of it. And at least it's like, you know, it's a shorter field goal, or it's third and 7 instead of third and 14, you know, whatever it is. Like there's some times when he has to do that. But I think a lot of it is the receiver situation too. I mean, it just changes how a defense approaches you if you have threats like that on the outside. Of course it does. They were not worried about sending anybody at Tannehill yesterday. Other teams, if 11 and 2 are on the field, they are not going to be doing that, and they will pay if they do. But in the meantime, again, you can have Derrick Henry. You can be a great run-blocking line, and you're still going to be in 3rd and 7. You're still going to be in 3rd and 8. You're still going to be in obvious passing situations where your quarterback has to drop back, and you have to give him some kind of a pocket and a few seconds to try to make a play. And, hey, the Jets are good there. That's the best part of their team. They've got some good players. I mean, Quinnen Williams was a real problem for the Titans yesterday. And some of those other guys, too. Huff, I mean, they've got some guys. But that was just a bad, bad performance. And I think, you know, you also have to, along with hoping you get your weapons back, I think you have to do some things like move the pocket.
Yep.
I think you have to start looking at this if you're Todd Downey and saying, okay, like, some of the stuff that we bread and butter stuff that we rely on right now, we can't do because of how these guys are performing / because they're hurt, whatever it is. So we got to do some different things. I mean, one thing we didn't see yesterday was Tannehill as a runner be any kind of factor. And I thought there were a couple of times he had a chance to do that and didn't take off, but you've got to, I think, account for this offensive line moving forward with if you're Todd Downing until things get better, if they do get better.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, one positive after the loss yesterday was Henry still got his yards and is on track to get 2,000 again. So I guess there are truly positives you can find in any situation, Joe Rexroad.
There you go. He was, you know, the thing is, man, and there's – well, two plays in overtime that, boy, yeah. One is he's crossing over. He breaks to the second level, and now he's crossing left across the field in overtime. And you could see it unfolding, you know, right? It was right in front of me. I'm like, right there. I was like, watch out. He is about to bust this. And it was I'm trying to remember who got him. I think it was I don't remember who got him. You know, their defensive backs did a really good job of going low and finishing tackles on him. But it was so close to being a walk-off, you know. And I just thought he ran great. And then, of course, the pass to Ferkser. For everything that went wrong for the Titans yesterday, Tannehill had Ferkser in the seam on 2nd and 5 from the 26.
Yep.
And a defender was there, but there's no – I don't think there was any hand on the ball. There's no pass breakup.
He's got to catch that ball.
Recorded on that. And if he catches it, he probably backs in the end zone. And all this stuff is like, well, they got all these problems and issues, but they're 3-1. And once again, Tannehill gets it done. Once again, the Titans are clutch in a close game. And it comes down to making a play right there. Like, you got to have that ball and catch it if you're Ferkser. That was a great play by Tannehill.
We've got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, including what happened to the Titans defensively in the second half. We'll get to that coming up next. Make sure you support Stars on Saturday, October the 16th, by running, walking, or boogieing in the Nashville Striders' 21st annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K run walk at Shelby Bottoms Park. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, or you can show your support and participate virtually. For more information, visit starsnashville.org. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
John Daly here.
You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.